I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is the 2018 season primer for the Richmond Tigers. And we've got a special guest with us. Like we, the last couple of years when we've done Richmond, we've had Richie come along. So, Richie, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
He's coming in to gloat to talk a couple of hours on Richmond's fortunes.
So let me get started on...
Actually, I think everyone should feel sorry for you and I, Heath, because we're sitting across from two people who are just going to be masturbating vigorously throughout this whole fucking podcast.
Oh, I've been to Scouts. But for those that remember, Richie is our physical and metaphorical punching bag, and he can be yours too, so enjoy that. All right, so first thing we do with Richmond, we'll look back at last year. Obviously, they finished third and went on for September Glory, but finishing third without feeling threatening all year is kind of amazing and I think naive, because was it because they just weren't threatening, or was it just everyone's, we've seen this before from Richmond?
It's actually probably nice. It was a year that we just went out and got the job done each week. You have your footy cliches of... You see that one week at a time. But actually, really, we only played 2 games for the year, and in both those games, we got absolutely trounced.
Yep.
Yeah.
But every other win, like we never really destroyed teams. Like, I don't think we had many games where it was over sort of 30 points. But yeah, you get in, you win, get your points, and walk away.
Yeah, and I think it's funny they talk about taking it 1 week at a time. Yet they divide the season up into blocks and look at like 4 weeks at a time. So I feel like just looking at 4 weeks at a time should be the new 1 week at a time.
I'd like to see somebody drop that in.
Yeah.
Because it's just a fallback though.
Yeah. Really.
But you just can't divide 22 nicely though. That's the only problem. Make it a 24 rounds and you can go, 23 actually, because we do have the bye spread out. But yeah, you know, 23 is even harder to divide nicely. Make it 24 and you just have six blocks of four.
Just make it 52. We go the whole way around. I feel like the bye round is like the hardest thing for the Tigers coach. Got to figure out how you're going to keep dusting all those blokes off the piss. Keep him under control.
Well, so, and you got to keep him in the country now, because usually he's flying off to New Zealand or wherever else.
Yep.
No, well, thankfully, I think this year, last year, they had Daniel Rioli took a team up off to one of an island somewhere and did a little community getaway.
They all do that during the off season.
Nice little rap.
He's on TV though. That's
All right, so it's probably easiest we go through the lows, because like I said, there weren't as many of them as there were the highs, and the highs are going to go on for a little bit. So the two games that they got thrashed in, well, I had them down as the lows, and obviously the St Kilda game, which is just an abortion. It was one of those ones where you can, honestly, at the end of the game, Harbour could go, you know what, that's not going to happen again. There's nothing we could do.
And Alan Richardson was like, please, can that happen again? they played flawless.
It was. And if they needed the ball to bounce sideways, it bounced sideways for them. Yeah. It's just the way it went for the Saints.
And like it was one of those ones where you watch it and like, this is where it's either like, this is where we break down, or they figured out our holes, or usually St Kilda played like they're a top two team.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at it going, St Kilda aren't this good, surely.
No.
Are they the dark horses coming through the season? Turns out they're not.
That was the Maddie game, wasn't it?
I think it was either the one after the Maddie game. I can't remember.
No, this is the first. The Maddie game was the second one for the season, I'm pretty sure. Because it was one of Nick's last games.
Yeah.
That's why it was even more...
It was at the G as well.
Round 23.
No, you're right. It was the Maddie game, because the other time was the last round. It was round 23 against Saints.
No,
So it was the Maddie game.
Yeah, so I think the emotion of that, getting St Kilda up, playing above themselves... Because realistically, if you're St Kilda, you're thinking, all right, what are our must-win games of the season? Because we're not playing finals.
They're marquee games.
At the start of the year, the St Kilda fans thought they were playing finals.
Yeah, the fans might have. The team probably did not. So you look at the Maddie game. That's one of their marquee games, must-win. And then you're like, all right, what's the other one?
Yeah, I don't know.
They got their the Pride match as well, I guess that's another big one for them.
They play in the, it's the Policeman's Cup against Hawthorn.
That's right, yeah.
They're playing down in Tassie this year, I'm pretty sure, as well, aren't they? So, yeah.
Well, they usually do play down in Tassie because they used to play down there until they were a premiership threat and they went, you know what, this is disadvantaging us, so we're going to play all our games back in Melbourne. Fuck the money.
Yeah. Except they went to New Zealand as well, didn't they?
Yes, they tried that for one game. And then Hawthorn went, you know what, we love that money. We'll have some of that.
No, it's definitely, I think... the combination of St Kilda had a great day and Richmond had a bad day, and we obviously got smashed. But like that one was more of a disappointment than say the Adelaide one. You know, the Adelaide were coming off 5-0.
Yep.
You know what? Yeah. We could have probably lost like four games, and I wouldn't have four games straight and got absolutely smashed. I probably wouldn't have cared because you know we're still sitting 5-4.
Yep.
But like because we Dad and I flew over to Adelaide for that one as well.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
The worst part of it is probably in the first quarter when you are sitting there with 30 points up comfortably, you know, really enjoying yourselves. And like I'm a very emotive football fan.
You're a prick. Yeah,
I'm that guy. So I'm up, you know, giving it to the Adelaide supporters.
Favorite
in the area.
Favorite pastime.
Compared to the Eddie brothers here, who are a little quieter at games. But yeah, Dad and I are up. We're cheering. We're loud, and you know, being just obnoxious Richmond supporters as we deserve to be.
Was it a wet night too?
No, it was beautiful, was man. It was absolutely beautiful. It was the first time I've been to Adelaide Oval, and
it's a nice venue, isn't it?
God, it was good. Mm. Very, very good. So yeah, we're going back over again this year. I think it's first week of June. I think we play either Adelaide or Port. We've got one game over there on Easter, but
yeah,
got a wedding, so you know, kind of have to go do that. That thing,
In Adelaide?
No. Back here, so I can't go to Adelaide because I got to go to the wedding. But, and then after we got absolutely pumped in the last week, and Dad and I just slowly sulked back into our chairs and remained nice and quiet.
Ate your humble pie.
I really just can't wait to just really dig up the old wounds by unveiling the flag in front of them. It's going to be fucking amazing.
You've been smiling since you found out that happened.
Yes, I've been planning it. Especially since like I watched the grand final with a bunch of Crow supporters. So it was like double nice because I could hear literal tears in the lounge room when I was watching out the back playing darts. And it was fantastic. You loved every moment of it. No, their reception was iffy, so I just fucked around with the TV that was outside. And yeah, that was my spot because we didn't have to listen to Crows people, for starters.
Yeah.
And yeah, at halftime we played darts.
And the clicking of their knitting needles, and it's fucking annoying too.
Yep, yeah.
I was actually funny that you said that it was less of a disappointment because I would have thought it was more of a disappointment that game because the St Kilda one was just, you know what, it's their night, it's going to happen. But this one was, you know what, our Tigers premiership contenders, and then Adelaide smoked them and you went, no, they're not. Yeah. And that carried through for the rest of the year. Meant nothing, obviously.
But I can't say, like, going into that game, I don't think that any normal Richmond supporter who actually pays attention to things probably wouldn't
who's
think...
paid attention the last 30
years. Yeah, but probably weren't thinking, hey, we are premiership contenders. Yeah. We'd go, hey, maybe we actually will make finals again this year.
Yeah.
And, like, we've notoriously started seasons poorly.
Notoriously, you know, poorly in the middle and the end of the season.
Yeah,
too.
Well, definitely. But like, you know, we've had a couple of seasons where we've had good run homes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that first couple of games being 5-0, I was wrapped as it was. It honestly didn't bother me too much. It sucked that we flew all the way over there for a thumping, but we did win big at the casino. So pros and cons, guys.
Sweet Tobago Reds. See, you say that and it's fine, but I say for Hawthorn, you know, but at least we won on the pokies. Everyone's up in arms. See, I don't see what the difference is.
But they're getting the kickbacks. That's the difference. Yeah.
Well, we have pretty much taken everything from Adelaide. I mean, Rich took their money. We booked the cup they should have had. We took their best brewery.
You took Ivan Marek.
Oh, yeah,
actually, Jack Graham was Adelaide as well.
Yeah, Adelaide boy that they should have picked up. Now a Richmond Life member.
Yep.
All right, so let's go through the highs. I guess, do we start at the top or do you want to work your way up?
Well, I feel like we can just chop and change and that'll be the rest of this podcast, really.
Well, starting off with the big win on Carlton, round one, that's obviously...
That was a shithouse game.
Terrible.
You know what? Yeah. I love that we play Carlton first round because I can pretty much guarantee we're starting the season on top of the ladder. So it's fantastic. We're the only game who's played, but as long as we win, it's all that matters. We're top.
But it really was a fairy tale for Richmond because after the first win, then you've got Collingwood the next week. And the whole thing, when we went and saw round two a couple of years back with Cochin and Treloar.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, I think Cochin did wait until about 10 minutes after the siren to actually do any sledging this time, but being able to give those sledges is a massive bonus when you're on the receiving end of them.
Well, he walked into it though, didn't he? I mean, he made a rod for his own back there, Koch, and he copped it in, was it 2016?
Yep.
But yeah,
he, run around there.
They got one back from him.
Well, yeah, I mean, when Treloar says, oh, Collingwood are closer to a premiership than Richmond, you know, at the start of the season, Cochin could have said, I don't think so, but now we can be like, well, no, you're fucking not.
Good call, cocksucker.
Can't go far without mentioning Dusty as well. I reckon he was a bit lucky to get the Norm Smith.
Yeah.
But the Brownlow season.
I thought Basher Hooley had it.
Yeah,
me so too. I thought Basher was the better on the day. And at the start of the year, I said he was one of the players that was in trouble. Because I didn't know if his place in the game was still there.
No, I thought he was at the start of the year. But then, obviously, with a change in strategy, with the big men going down, that sort of suited his game plan to a T. He didn't have to have much pressure, like, in the forward lines. He could just run up the half-back line.
I think the game came to him.
Yeah.
As in, he looked at what JJ did most of last year and said, I can do that better. And he did.
That's really what turned it around for Richmond for me, is they figured out, you know what, we haven't got the skills. We're a hacking kick side.
Yeah.
Let's make that our game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's play to our strength. It's just get the ball moving forward.
Well, yeah. To me, what made the difference for them wasn't what they did with the ball, what they did when they didn't have it. Like the amount of people that would run to the ball carrier and pressure them and tackle the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
Just give the ball carrier no time to make a decision. And that's country footy.
It's pressure. It's hard to maintain. And it looks like they said, you know what, we can do this for 1 month.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's the only month that matters.
Yeah, and you'd see they get tired towards like the last quarter in, like when the game plan really started to get into effect.
Was it tired or was it early celebrations?
Well, I think it's hard to tackle someone with a raging heart on.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a game plan that other teams just really didn't give enough credit to when they were planning. Yep. They didn't have a plan B for it. They just thought, well, they can't apply that if they don't have the ball. Like, we're just going to attack and kick more goals, and that's
or
it.
Or a fucking shepherd, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's an option.
That's it. They just think, you know what? They can play that scrappy game. We'll outclass them.
Yeah.
Turns out they won't.
Yeah. I reckon that'll be the defining thing of how Richmond actually goes this season is... It's not. We really haven't lost any of our talent. I'm sure we'll get to this, but we haven't lost any of our talent. We've only picked up players who are going to complement our team already, but it's whether other teams adjust to that game style will depend on where Richmond finishes this year.
Yeah, I mean, really, there's only one Sean Griggs, so they're all fucked.
Do you really give a shit if you have a premiership hangover? I mean, you still got a premiership.
I have said to people from the get-go, you know what, if Richmond go out and win the Spoon this year, I will be less disappointed than if we had won the Spoon any other year.
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't matter.
A thousand times before, the thing about a premiership hangover is you need the premiership first.
Yeah.
Ask any doggy supporters last year. Like, okay, you were irrelevant this year. Nah, don't care.
And everyone's got the same cold sauce and drinking out of the same cup.
Exactly.
I've still got the replay saved on 7 hard drives and I'm going to keep watching.
Me too.
Exactly. The merch is still there. The hats are still coming. The stickers are still on the back of the stolen ute.
Oh God, the merch is still... Yeah, there's a lot of merch.
Merch is still coming.
You know what I didn't see, though? There was nowhere to buy the alternate strip.
Well, good story, that one. Yeah, they promised it and then never delivered. So Puma just didn't make them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people are still waiting for them. They've ordered them, paid for them.
That's throwing money away, isn't it?
Yeah.
But especially because it's the most recent premiership strip.
Yeah.
Why the fuck aren't you selling millions at the...
Yeah.
Their fucking shop is right at the Oval.
Well, that's the other thing. When we talk about the wins for the year, Richmond at one stage had... I think 3 warehouses full of merchandise orders that they just couldn't get out.
Yeah.
So even though they didn't have the Premiership Guernsey, everything else they had sold.
Yeah.
And they've made an unbelievable profit.
Well, it's been like almost, what was Peggy saying? Like 4 million or something like that, they estimate it's going to be?
Yeah.
It's kind of craziest for merch.
Which is pretty good considering it's probably the most pirated merch as well. second to Collingwood.
Just imagine how many houses had to get robbed for all that merch to get bought.
And imagine how much it gets the second time it gets sold.
Well, you're thinking about cashies now.
And the thing is, like, I actually have the alternate strip. It was from one of the pre-seasons when we first broke it out. I've got it signed by Leon Cameron.
Oh, really?
The price of that's gone through the roof now. Sweet.
Signed by Leon Cameron.
Yep.
It's the best they did is win the flag in the alternate strip because now they're like, well, we can't change our strip for the next, like, 5 years because people still remember that as the flag one.
Yeah.
But I love that, too, that when it came to grand final week, they said, you know, well, you might have to wear the alternate strip and... you know, there was a few commentators saying, oh, why should they do that? And Richmond went and goes, we don't care.
Yeah, we care.
We're playing Hessian bags. Yep. Don't care. We're playing.
We're naked. All right, whatever. Yeah. You know, I'll take one for the team.
And like everyone wants that strip now, the alternate. Yeah. Everyone's already got the normal Richmond strip. So this one, it's almost like just getting double money for nothing.
Yep. Well, it's like in comic books, they did alternate covers.
Yeah,
so you put out a comic and then have different covers. And people would be like, I'm going to buy them all. And this is what's happening now. Do you reckon they wear the alternate strip for the unveiling?
I would hope so.
I think they should. That'd
be sweet.
Well, actually, is it our home game against Carlton? I don't think it's our home game this year. So we will be...
I've got a feeling it's Carlton's home game.
Yeah, so we'll be the away team.
So you might wear it in round one.
Probably we will be wearing it round one. Because they're moving away, like, because it's obviously Carlton being the Navy. I think
do you reckon you'll wear it round two against Collingwood, just because?
Dude, we're at whole season. I don't care.
Yeah. Exactly. There is a chance that some of the players haven't taken it off yet.
Yeah, it says premiers.
We'll probably wear the medals too.
Now, Brody's already got passed around.
That's right.
I wonder if he's got it back yet.
Nah. It would have got lost in between them.
I've forgotten all about that. What other highs have we got from the Tigers for the year? Aside from that, I mean, Rioli picked up the Phil Manassa medal for goal of the year.
Oh, that's right. He did too, yeah.
It was great. So I honestly thought he wasn't going to get it, but it was the best goal of the year.
Oh, I just loved it. He didn't actually win the nomination for the round, I don't think.
Yeah, which is
hilarious.
It's happened before. Yeah. Not best of the week, but it's best of the year. But anyways.
Yeah. I think another high was how we actually got to the grand finals by beating the three teams that are above us in the ladder, the top four. We beat the top four.
You beat all of the top four.
Yeah, to win. Yeah. I think that's something that there was... never going to be an easy side of the draw for us, so I'd love just getting the harder side and just having to knock them all off.
There was no Bradbury about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just glad we got to play all three games at the G. That made
my life. Yeah, definitely did help.
Like, I went to 18 game Richmond games last season, I think. It was 17 or 18. Benefits of actually working Monday to Friday nowadays and not having to work weekends, but... Oh, that was awesome, man. Like, then having the finals and just being like, oh, actually, I can go to all of these. Got no money left. Yeah. Bought tickets for all of them. But yeah, it was definitely a good season for actually attending games for once, which is nice. Got value out of my membership, I think.
Exactly. That's what it's all
the
about.
The most important thing.
I do think anyone who had a grand final ticket option at the start of the season for Richmond deserved to go.
Well, actually,
because that's optimistic.
On that note, because we have the Maurice Rioli Club, that's like it's essentially your general admission reserve seat. General admission seat and then guaranteed grand final. And that's like the basic package you can get in grand final. I think maybe 4 weeks out from the finals, they put out a letter to everyone saying, hey, for $100, everyone, you can upgrade to the Maurice Rioli and get your guaranteed grand final ticket. You're sitting there going, oh, you know what? Do I take the gamble? I was like, nah, stuff it. I won't do it. Ended up getting tickets in the ballot anyway. So, fantastic.
It's pretty smart marketing, though.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I think we... saying something, like out of the 17,000 tickets or something that we got, 10,000 of them were for guaranteed...
Were the upgrades or...?
Well, like total. But that's a pretty solid chunk already. Like, when you've got... what's like 8% of your members who signed up to guaranteed tickets? Like, that's a good coin for them.
Yeah, is it true that we've already broken the record for memberships?
Yes,
pre season.
Yes,
75,000.
I was going to say, and I think June 29th is 9 months after the grand final, so membership's going to go up after that as well.
And it's funny just seeing like
fucking bandwagoners,
new little kids who like just exposed AFL picking up Richmond Guernseys because obviously they're the premiers.
Yeah, that's the funny thing.
Crazy to see that.
Because I remember growing up, like, you'd never see a kid wearing a Richmond Guernsey.
Yeah, no.
Anywhere. No. And now they've got 70,000 members. They literally come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, yeah. But also just the following effect from winning that flag and having new kids who've only seen football on TV, you know, they're like 5 years old, obviously want to be targets because they're the ones that are winning. That's just what kids
and then
do.
Watch us lose for the next 10 years.
Yeah. Now you're a Richmond fan.
I keep saying, like, I'm the same. I'm 1988, a bandwagon supporter. And I chose Hawthorn because
we
won the grand final.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I cursed Matthew Richardson for a long time because he's sort of got me into to follow the Tigers.
I just get to blame my dad. Dad's the diehard Richmond supporter. Pretty much everyone in my family is all the boys are Richmond, all the girls are Collingwood. Happens
Jesus
to work.
Christ.
My sister's partner, he is a Richmond supporter. My wife is a kind of Collingwood supporter if she has to be.
she doesn't have to be.
Yeah, so it all fits in there pretty well. So I've still got one sister left who's single. So if it's not a Richmond supporter, it won't fit the trend. It's just not going to happen.
So your wife might be a Collingwood supporter, but she's got a little Richmond in her.
Just a little. Richard in her.
Yeah,
my girlfriend's an Essendon supporter. Has no idea who James Heard or Kevin Sheedy is. Hardcore.
But she does deal drugs. So, you know.
Well, you know, yeah.
$20 is $20. Hey. All right. I think the other highlight, like we said, was they gave every single Premiership player life membership.
Yeah.
Which, for some reason, angered some people.
Like, yeah.
Who cares?
Why do you give a fuck?
Yeah. Well, honestly, because... I tried finding it before this, but when it was initially coming out, they sent around a letter to everyone with, you know, the official wording to all the members anyway. So the official wording change saying, hey, this is going to be at our next AGM, blah, blah, blah. But then Peggy put a couple of paragraphs at the end essentially explaining why it wanted to happen. And I think there was a video of her explaining this as well.
I like how you're on a first name basis.
Yeah.
Like, we've won a flag together, Peggy.
Pegs.
Yeah.
We're part.
Sorry. Miss O'Neill. It just doesn't sound right.
No,
it just sounds weird.
Like you're talking to a teacher.
Yeah.
A naughty teacher.
Yeah. She's a little old for me, I say. But, you know, whatever, guys.
Yeah.
I tried finding this letter that I had somewhere around. But I really liked how she went about explaining it. And that sold me straight away. It's pretty much saying, look, in the scheme of things, Richmond have only won, you know, a certain number of flags, which means a certain number of people, which in the percentage of our overall life members is not really that many.
Yeah.
And you know what? If it incentivizes the team to go out and win flags, fantastic. Yeah. That keeps the lights on.
What are the benefits of life membership, really?
Like, so
you never pay membership again, obviously.
Yeah. You're guaranteed 2 grand final tickets as well. And you get access to any of the events, pretty much. Like you get 2 tickets for any Richmond event. And grand final, of course, is a Richmond event. So.
Yeah. So is it all the 22 or the 44 in the list?
22.
Just the 22. Yeah. The playing team.
Yeah, so there's 44 grand final tickets gone, but that's, you know, that's fucking nothing really in the long run, other for a flag. And realistically, does anyone give a shit? Like, if you win a flag and this is what you have to deal with, that's kind of, I know, what the fuck are we going to do?
It's great that she did explain it. It doesn't need explaining.
Yeah.
I mean, they won a flag.
I was pushing for statues along Punt Road and Swan Street. Like, just really go all out. Like, you should make that walk from Punt Road up to the, or from like our ground up to the MCG.
From the train station.
Lined with statues of that 22. See, it should be those linking arms. That should be a whole big fucking
holding
car statue.
Holding up the Bridge Street bridge.
That's exactly right. That's what we should do.
What you can do, you know those, the rubber ones on the side of the road? The ones that when they hit the wobble?
Yeah.
You can make...
that'll be on the Collingwood end of Swan Street.
No, the crows doing their stance.
Just knock them down as you go.
Just doing, and they bounce back up.
I think one thing, people didn't realise this because obviously after the grand final, there's a couple of weeks and then they've inducted everyone as a life member.
Yep.
But that decision to make all Premiership players life members was made in April.
Yeah.
So it's not like it was a reaction decision to say, oh, look, we want a flag. Well, give them all life members.
They've the fifth rendition of Mr. Bright Eyes. Hey, you're all life members.
You see, in North Melbourne, anyone that turns up to Arden Street gets life membership. So that's why we get 30,000.
In fact, you're obliged to go to all games.
But yeah, like, so that, and then not only obviously this Premiership team, but all the past Premiership players have also been inducted. Most of them are dead, whatever.
Did they get any refunds?
Yeah.
So, the membership you paid since 1981. here's your money back.
Didn't we go on to KB and it didn't rock up?
Well, he did leave the club for years, if you remember. Yeah.
No, I have no issues about it whatsoever, and it's weird that people have issues. Because it's not like we're the only club that does it either. Like,
it's off-season too.
And there's multiple clubs who already have this. And some, it's like win a flag and play 50 games. And like, well, you know what? Some guys get injured after a year and they'll only play 10 games.
Win a flag, done.
Yeah. Yeah. Good enough to tell Ivan Marich that he didn't get one. Like, that's a shit job.
Oh, he got one. He told them. All right, so we'll leave 2017 there, and I'm sure that's the last
we haven't talked about the grand final yet.
I thought we just did.
No. The thing that I love most about the grand final was just the absolute demoralization of the Crows through that game, through that four quarters, and the fact that you could see what was going wrong from their strategy, and they had no plan B to back it up. Like, we were not the best team on paper. We were not the most skilled team, but we found a way to win, and from strategy,
the hungriest team.
What about plan A didn't work, do you think?
Well, the fact that they didn't, like, sort of account for defense, really, didn't sort of work out. They didn't have a strategy. Like, there were some passages of play where they managed to have quick passes, especially with Lever having a bit of leeway across their half back line. And I felt like that they were a bit too individualized as opposed to figuring out how they're going to do it as a team to work it out.
I thought that was selfish.
I thought Lever turning up with his bags already packed was a bit cheeky too.
Well, it was almost like the Crows were in a competition for Norm Smith. They're like, we're going to win. Yeah. All right. So who's going to really shine on this stage? And I feel like they didn't really have any plan B for Richmond having an effective game plan, which they already knew what it was, but they didn't really do anything to really mitigate it.
Like, Sloan was killing us early. Yeah. And then they moved Graham onto Sloan. And I was like, God, it's his fifth game of AFL, and you're telling me that someone can't go help Sloan get free against that. He's not a tagger.
Exactly.
It's like I'm saying, that's the selfish side of it. It's like, don't worry about it. Sloan's got it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Mind you, if it's your fifth game and you're playing for a flag, that you are not caring if you end up.
And it's against his childhood hero as well. So that was a big one for Graham. I think he's really come out and gone, oh, actually, this is kind of real now.
And I think that there's, like, if you're expected to win and you're a better skilled side, there's obviously you're happy that you won, but there's no better satisfaction than not being the best team on the park and finding a way to win. Mm. Like, 9 times out of 10, you might lose, but you only play once. So you got to figure out how you make that one time count. And that was, like, the most satisfying part for me, which is watching it just unfold and see them slowly just capitulate and turn on each other.
Well, even the guy that does the Weg posters now, I've forgotten his name. But even
Mark Knight.
Is it really Mark Knight?
Yeah, Mark Knight does
There you go. His drawing of the tiger. Even the tiger looks like going, I can't believe it either.
I'm so wrapped to that. Dad and I went to Punt Road the day after the grand final, and they had 1,000 limited edition, the gold foil. Well,
you hadn't gotten out of the suburb until then.
No. Actually, we did end up going. We had a quiet grand final night, considering. We took the long way around Bridge Road, so we didn't get stuck for 7 hours trying to get through the Tiger supporters.
to be fair, that was a fucking madhouse.
That was crazy. That was crazier than, like, I remember working at Crown and being in, like, the Crown Towers, the very top, and watching. There were two things that stand out. One was New Year's Eve, which is insane everywhere. The other was when Liverpool played Melbourne Victory.
Yeah.
And that was insane, watching just this sea of red go through, like, the entire city grid descending on the MCG. And this was crazier than both of those. Yeah. It was fucking insane. And, like, everyone was a Tiger supporter that night with the play in the Crows. So everyone was out thinking, yes, it's going to be a loose night. Let's all get on board. I got near Richmond. I don't remember a whole lot, but even my mate's girlfriend got in the Spirit and, like, knocked a dude or punched a dude in the face at the bar. I think it was the Pinnacle or somewhere like that. And so, we got kicked out of a bar. Not because anyone did anything wrong except for someone's girlfriend. Yeah, punched a dude in the nose.
I think somebody did something wrong.
Not for a grand final.
My mate was walking from, like, the back area into the bar and they're like, sorry, you got to go. The fuck did we do, man? I didn't do shit. He's like, no, she just punched that guy. She'll be with you. I'm like, oh shit, all right.
Nah, she's not with me, guys. Sorry, who are you again?
And, like, the barman was like, the guy's kind of deserved it, but you just can't punch people in the face. But on that night, you should be allowed to. I feel like, you know, if you're right,
I feel like you get one.
You get one.
It's one of those ones where they should refer it.
Yeah.
And then Rocket Ead comes in with a character reference and you're like, all right, not fair enough.
And it was funny going to one of the burger kebab joints down there and, like, every motherfucker with a freshly done dusty haircut.
I did like how people were on the street doing it.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
It's a very funny thing with Dusty, because I was thinking about, everyone's, the neck tats and the haircut and all that kind of stuff and the bikey mates. He never really engages in the rough stuff, does he?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't need to.
Because either nobody bothers and thinks, you know what, I'm not going to try that. But he's never involved in the push and shove.
Well, the fact he leaves notes on everyone's cars on the way in sort of helps, I think.
Probably does. And most of those notes are just, you door. Yeah, yeah. But I was thinking,
carved with a Bowie knife.
Isn't it amazing? Cochin's more likely to be the one to give the sneaky punches.
Yeah, yeah.
Dusty sort of stares, go away.
Yeah. Well, it's like those people who've got, like, real money.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to show off.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? They chill out in trackies and whatever, and they're just fucking buying and selling football teams. Yeah. But those with a little bit of money, they're the ones that are trying to splash it around. Dusty's like that with toughness.
Yeah.
Like, he's really got the things to back it up.
He's got nothing to prove,
man. The carry pack a toss you for it sort of thing.
Pretty much, yeah. Except Dusty will be like, someone else will toss a coin, mate.
Koch also, I think, had his best year of his career as well, which is funny because he's a former Best and Fairest winner.
Yeah,
Brownlow medalist.
Brownlow medalist as well. I thought he was better than his Brownlow medal.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
And yet, second best in the side.
Yeah. But, I mean, Koch playing so well allowed Dusty to play even better.
Yeah. And vice versa.
And I think
they play their roles.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing now. It's like Koch and move into that more inside role. And he did it so well this year. Fantastic. You know, we needed that when we had guys like Dan Jackson, Shane Tuck sort of move out of the side. You know, we lost that in and under hardness. Koch really stepped up. You know, a couple of punches to ribs. No big deal.
Someone else who stepped up, though, keeping the tradition alive, whenever Delidio's on the field, Richmond win.
Yeah.
I think he took one for the team really well there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you should give him a life membership, too.
actually, I think he has a life membership because he's 250 gamer. Games.
Oh, God. Yeah. So, man, he's going to turn up to the event. Still. I hope he turns up to one at some stage.
He played 200.
He's got it.
He's still, look, anyone who booed Delidio is not a real Richmond supporter.
No, I can't. Look, you can say that now.
But if
GWS had beaten Richmond in the grand final last year.
Yeah, but I would have been booing because I would be booing GWS. Like,
if they were winning, you boo them. But when you're losing, that just be a bit empathetic, I say.
He might pull a Gary Ablett and come back.
I don't think so.
Honestly, I'll be amazed if he plays more than a quarter of the season this year. He's done.
Well, why should 2018 be any different than 2019?
But for Richmond, I felt like the true measure, and I think it's been the problem for a while, was the mid-tier players figuring out how they play a role that's going to be competitive.
Yep.
And instead, we made a game plan that suited the mid-tier players that we had. And I think the biggest example of that was Brandon Ellis, who I criticised him pretty harshly like a couple of years ago.
He deserved
had no
it.
Left foot.
Yep.
Was a bit single-minded. But he's one that's really sort of stepped up and made his game suit that game plan at Richmond, and he's been a consistent contributor for the whole year.
Yeah,
well, he didn't give up.
One of the big differences was you used to have players that were fucking liabilities.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like for that season, you didn't. There was no player where you're like, you're going to fuck this up now.
Well, that's what I mean. They changed the game plan. They went, you know what? He's a shit kick. So let's expect a shit kick, and we'll work it out from there. It's adapting the game plan to your team rather than thinking of a game plan and trying to get the team to do that, which is what Ross Lyon does.
And that's why it was so important for Jack. He was not like, obviously he's a target up forward, but his job wasn't necessarily to go out, take big marks, hit goals. It was to contest and bring the ball to ground so that our little players can get
and
around
if,
there.
And if he can take out three players on the way through, fantastic.
Great. Yeah, if he takes a mark, it's a goal, good. But mainly compete at everything and run so that our little players have got the opportunity.
And that's where guys like Short...
Yeah,
you know, pop up. Yeah. Here's a couple of goals, you know, and Rioli, obviously.
Yeah,
was it Lloyd that kicked the winning goal in the VFL Grand Final?
No, that was Ben Lennon.
Ben Lennon missed it.
Lloyd or Short was best on ground.
I think Lloyd had an amazing season.
Lloyd had a couple of like 48 touch games.
Yeah, incredible.
But just couldn't get a look in.
And then they were talking about the grand final team, and he's like, "I've just won best on ground of the VFL Grand Final. I reckon that
still misses out." Yeah,
and they're just like, "Nah." Motherfucker.
Yeah, that's it. But where do you slot him in? Who do you take out for him?
Take out?
Oh, look, tough part.
Looking back on it, you'd be like, bad luck, mate.
Yeah, but he's a very offensive-minded player, which you need, but that's not the game plan we were going with. We were going with just running and chasing, which not his strongest points.
But how would you feel being him? Like, you've got best on ground in a VFL Grand Final, VFL Premiership team.
Yeah.
And
they lost the VFL.
Oh, sorry. You've got that medal around your neck, and then you're rocking up to the club, and every other motherfucker's got an AFL Premiership medal. This is worthless.
Especially like in the change rooms afterwards, they're like, "This is everyone's Premiership. Everyone come in and sing this song." And you just be like, it's not really.
But I think if Townsend hadn't have kicked 11 goals in two games, then Lloyd was in.
Yeah,
but
he did.
Yeah, it's like, what are the chances that the guy who's taken your spot goes and has an absolute blinder? Yeah.
And some of those are tough goals too, like from the boundary line, like you just snagged them all.
I mean, Lloyd could do nothing more, but you can't justify a change when the change can't be justified.
Well, really, this was a year of transitioning for him. He had to change the way he played his game.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that the rest of the team moved faster than he did.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But it was, I think one of the real indicators of how much belief there is in that Richmond squad is that we had people who re-signed knowing they're going to play Bs, which is kind of crazy. Like, usually, if you've got a chance to play A somewhere else, then you go. And you wouldn't think, you'd be best luck to you. You wouldn't really think bad
like
of them.
A great example of that is, what's his name? Moore. So he got delisted by the AFL team and then signed on for the VFL side.
Yep.
I was like, if you... having people do that shows that you've got the right culture in the club. People are wanting to stay. It's like, hey, I know I'm 100% not playing AFL next year, but I want to be here.
Yeah. Or they want express entry to Kittens.
Caddy had a bit of a blinder come finals time as well.
Oh, he did.
Earned
times,
his money.
A few times during the year, he was overly selfish.
Yeah.
But earned his money. At his third club.
He was well handy.
Yeah.
The buy before finals was certainly a massive help getting him back too. If bring that game 1 week earlier, he's not playing.
Yeah.
Might not have the form to then play the next week. So.
Yeah. I think Prestia showed he was able to show his class by getting free space, with so much other sort of attention being on other players. Yeah, I thought he didn't try and overplay the game. I thought he figured out where he could be most utilised and just killed it.
All right, let's have a look at 2018 then.
I'm sure we'll revisit the grand final again.
It'll come up again. Yeah. There's no doubt. Or we can just cut together all the other pieces from the other 17.
Yeah, I haven't really talked enough about Premiership Ruckman Sean Grigg yet.
Well, actually, I did mean to mention Dankervis because he was somebody you were expecting little from.
Yeah.
Became, you know, not a all-Australian ruckman, but a more than handy ruckman.
Well, his work was around the ground and be able to do other things. And he's very aware of what his capabilities are.
Like, took some nice grabs.
Solid grab, good 30-minute kick. That's where his bread and butter is.
And he's still young, too. Like,
yeah, he's brother-all.
You forget, I always see our ruckman and be like, he's the 38-year-old guy. Yeah. He's just sort of trudging along while he can. But no, Nank is still, you know, going to have quite a few years in him. And it's nice to actually have a ruckman that might stick around, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee he's not going anywhere now.
Yeah.
All right, list changes over the off-season. There's no real ins for the Tigers, mostly just draft picks, but they've lost some depth players, I think, has been kind to them.
Yeah.
So Taylor Hunt has been delisted.
Which, if either of you two can recognise him in a crowd, I'll be fucking shocked.
Well, I can because I yelled at him last
Yeah, never really got going after moving across from Geelong. Elton, Lennon, like you mentioned.
Lennon's a tough one. It's like if he was in any other side, he'd probably be all right. But he just didn't fit the game plan for this year.
Yeah.
And like he had a great the VFL Grand Final played fantastically. You know. He went back.
Cost the team the game.
He backed it. Like, that's a 55-meter kick. He had to spot that. But he went back and backed himself, and he made a bloody good effort
It was the right thing to do, too. Yeah. He shouldn't have been looking for a pass.
Was it after the siren?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you have to back yourself then, don't you?
No, but they were saying...
He had the opportunity to pass before the siren went, and it was like, no, I've got this. I'm going back and kicking it.
Well, it's what every kid dreams of, don't you? Like, whether you're playing whoop-whoop grand final or under-12s or... fucking AFL or VFL in this case, you want the ball in your hand, siren's gone, you're a couple of points down, you need a kick to win.
And there's 30 minutes gone on the clock. He could have looked for a pass 30 metres out and the siren goes while the ball's in mid-air.
Yeah, and then you're an idiot.
I'd rather miss the goal than do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, same. But I'd rather have the ball in my hand.
Yeah, but he also, like, whenever he got a chance AFL, he just blew it. So it's really hard to have confidence with him, even though how good he's playing in VFL, to bring him back in expecting to be able to perform when so many times he hasn't.
I am surprised that no one picked him up, though. I would have thought that he might have got scraped in somewhere. But.
Yeah.
It's one of those, you know, he's going to be the 25th to 30th best player at any club. And then when you're 24...
Top three North Melbourne.
North Melbourne.
Oh, a million a year.
Highest paid. Yeah.
Jake Batchelor as well.
Yeah,
he's just one of those guys that was in and out of the side for his whole career, pretty much.
Good club man.
Yeah, one of those.
Well, so he's a friend of mine through friends of friends and whatnot. So I've just spoken with him.
Find that hard to believe.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a guy I've known.
Just because you sucked his dick doesn't mean he's a friend.
It happens. No, but like, so it's with him. Like, he's had sort of a major hip injury. So he hung up the boots for good now as well. So it's not even that. If he was healthy, I reckon Richmond probably would have given him another year because he's a great player. If he would have been first in the side if any of our backline had an injury.
But
when we finally had a year where Grigg and Asprey were healthy the entire year, Rance is just a beast and he's just a freak of nature.
See, on Rance, it's a bit unfair, really. Being a Mormon, he can have four wives. He's got father-son rule in the next 18 years. It's going to be fucking huge.
But they're all going to be backmen. Yeah.
I really wish people would finally get on the Rance officially is the best backman of all time rather than the, he's, you know, all right. Like, I mean, obviously people rate him.
Well, he's no Mick Martin.
I think You give by the time Rance retires, if he's not recognised as the greatest backman,
that's it. Surprised. You've got to retire for those things because then people, the memories get. Oh yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I'd never rated Steve Silvani all that high. Yeah, maybe I'm the only one. I am the only one, I think.
Full back of the century,
yeah. Bruce Duel for me all day.
And the other was Ivan Marek, who was a glorified coach this year anyway.
Yeah.
But he officially retired. But did he play one game?
I think he only played one this season. But you know what? He
didn't really play a game. He filled in.
Yeah. And he specifically said to the club start of the year to say, hey, like, I'm going to stick around one more year because I know you guys need it rather than he wanted to. I mean, he wants to be around the club. And I think he's moving into a ruck coaching position as well. So.
Which is pretty much what he's doing.
Because Griffith broke down before the season, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so Richmond were one person down on the list anyway.
On that note, I'm actually, it is frustrating with the Griffith situation. Like, he's retired after every list lodgement. So we don't get the option for a placement. Like, I get it. We still had space on our list that we could have filled technically, but yeah, it's a sucky situation.
I feel kind of the same because Tyrone Vickery retired after the...
Yeah, but the difference is you had to pay him 500 grand, so that's even worse.
No, we didn't. We got away with it.
That's all right. I apparently invested it wisely.
In a restaurant.
I thought it was in those cat backpacks that he was doing.
All right, so looking at the draw in 2018, the double ups for Richmond, you've got the Crows double up, which is always expected, being the rematches. Geelong, Essendon, St Kilda and Collingwood. You finish top three, you're going to expect you're going to have a couple of hard double ups, but you're the hard double up now is what you're hoping for.
Yep. Well, I think St Kilda and Collingwood should be scratch games.
Well, St Kilda will be closer, I think.
Yeah, we're closer. Collingwood's a money game, so happy to play them twice.
And they should steamroll Collingwood. Calling down shit at the moment.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There you go. I said it. Cop that.
Essendon will be a big... I'm
big on Essendon this year.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if they miss finals this year.
I think watching Essendon wins is like watching Yoel Romero.
Yeah.
They haven't won until Asada has left the
venue. They've paid their dues.
I think it's been
which
long
Jews?
Enough.
Yeah, I think Yoel was on ecstasy for his last fight.
he assaulted Luke Rockhold after beating him up.
I want to say you love me.
I'll be honest. If he comes to me and says, I want you to say you love me, I'm saying I love you.
Shit. I love you. I love you, man.
All right, so who's due for a big year with the Tigers? Because you know what Dusty's going to do. You know what Rance is going to do.
Yeah. I think the interesting one will be who comes in for Broad for the 3-week suspension. And whether they keep Broad out of the side. So you've really got Markov or you've got Corey Ellis, I think, to go into that spot. And if either of those two start off the season well, Broad won't play another game. Those three players pretty much fill that role exactly the same. If one of them has a good start, I don't know why they would be bringing Broad back.
Yep.
I think Jack Graham only played 5 games.
Yeah.
Massive hype. You see how that affects his gameplay and how he actually approaches games and where he fits in.
He's only played 5 games. He's still eligible for the Rising Star.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he is a solid, he's a very thick individual.
Yeah. A bit older too. So what is he like, 23?
He's not eligible then.
Yeah. He wouldn't be. But like, everyone's already touting him as the Cochin replacement. So hopefully he can keep that in check and future captain of the club.
Add a bit of that hardness and pressure around the middle as well. Like, he's going to get much more opportunities now. So it'd be interesting to see if he can back it up. I think he can. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders and he's shown that the big games don't really affect him too much. So Yeah, it'd be interesting how it goes in a regular season.
Yeah. Seeing as he's pretty much only played finals at this point.
And I think we'll see probably see Bolton really step up, I reckon. So he's it was all on that cusp, and it just happened that, you know, Butler and Castagna were playing better.
Yeah.
But, you know, another preseason under Bolton certainly not going to hurt, and hopefully bulk up a little bit.
Yeah, so hit the weights room.
Yeah, and that'll make a huge difference. Like, as Castagna had a great season. He was, you know, finding the space that he needed to. Butler's work rate is sensational, though. So being able to compete with either of those two, he's going to have to play pretty well. Obviously, he'll start the year off in the VFL, but hopefully he'll get a few opportunities and, show what he can do.
Mm. I got one for you. Dylan Grimes, All-Australian. I reckon because of how good Rance is, he gets overlooked a lot.
Yep. Yeah,
he is so underrated for one-on-one contests that he'd win 90%, especially when the ball's on the ground. He's just such a hustler. Can't kick for shit.
He just looks dumb as shit. I think that works against him.
Yeah,
people don't give him credit for being a smart backman player.
Yeah. But that wiry build is the one. They're the ones that play 400 games.
Yeah,
but Boomer Harvey excluded.
But it blows my mind with Grimes because he can play tall and he can play small. Like he can play he can play on Eddie Betts or he can play on Tex. Like it really doesn't matter. But you'd think that he's going to get out-muscled or anything like, and just somehow this one of those long lanky arms comes over the top and just pokes the ball. It's like, yep.
Okay. Or he tackles Eddie Betts in the square when he hasn't got the ball. Whatever works. But I seriously, I think he just signed on too, didn't he?
Yeah, he's
I was saying, you know, when it comes around to whoever's going to throw money around North Melbourne, I'd be looking at Grimes because he is such an undervalued player.
Yeah.
But you know, he's obviously happy where he is.
And just got to keep those hamstrings secured to the bone, and we should be all right.
Yeah, and like because we've got him and Rance, it allows McIntosh to be an effective backline player because he's not picking up major backline oppositions.
It allows the rest of you to become running backline players, and that's why Basher Hooley can do what he does.
Yeah,
And I did notice this year that he stopped doing the receiver handball while running towards your defending goal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'll get a little kick here. No, just run forward, mate.
Yeah, that's it. This is your goal.
Picking up the dregs that way. So who's in trouble then on the Tigers list? Because usually this is where we say Hardwick.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can say anyone's in trouble, but I think people that are going to be likely to leave are the ones that have been kicked out of the best 22.
That's it, isn't it?
Like Lloyd.
Focus on footy.
Only because other people are going to be saying maybe he's worth a bit of a contract.
Well, and he's going to be looking at, you know, I want to play in the best 22.
Yeah.
And if you're 25th and there's not injuries to put you in there, that's it. It's all those guys. It's like you just want to flag. Nobody's obviously in obvious trouble.
Yeah.
It just comes down to how much money do you want and have we got enough?
Well, that's it. Like, I wouldn't begrudge Lloyd if he left and went somewhere else because he is like a class player and he definitely fit in someone else's best 22. Just our game plan isn't on a skill level that would will allow him to be that offensive-minded.
He's a one-way runner.
Yeah.
And the way the Tigers play, they can't afford that.
Yeah, anymore. That's it. So, yeah, I'd love him to be able to be in a team as a pinch hitter, but I think as a full-time role, we don't have the skills that's going to really facilitate that sort of player. So if he goes.
He goes, yeah. What can you do?
But, you know, it's hard to put anyone under pressure when you're a premiership player.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the others, you don't really know them yet.
Yeah, and Hardwick can sit with his thumb up his ass. He's good for at least two seasons now.
$2.5 million a year contract. Yeah.
I think the record is 2 years after a flag to get sacked at Richmond. So I reckon they're comfortable now.
But what the fuck are Richmond fans supposed to do?
Like they don't know themselves anymore.
If they go, you know, 3-3 by round six, do we start booing people again? That's going to be confusing as fuck.
Where is my microwave? Do I have to take my microwave out of storage again? God damn it.
Yeah. All right, so we've done our ladder predictors. So where have you got the Tigers finishing in 2018?
I've got them finishing third.
So
yes.
Same as 2017.
Yeah, except for, last year I picked him to finish like ninth or something. Yeah. And I was...
Well, and none of us picked him to play
finals.
And
that was just me pushing down the general Richmond hype you get in pre-season. Ooh. Just going, no, this is the one I think they're... No, just be reasonable, Brenton. Just be reasonable. All right.
Was it really? I thought you were being generous in ninth.
Yeah, no, I was trying to be reasonable and like keep a lid on it. But it's hard in pre-season. So that was the one I was disciplined and we won. So I feel like, third, that should be, you know, about par for this sort of season. As long as we've got double chance at finals, I think we're good.
Josh, where you got them finishing?
Yeah, I got them seventh. I think they'll drop off a bit because they won't have the same amount of hunger they did have. And plus, I think Dusty's going to be pretty high for most of the season.
It is when they become the hunted, like they keep saying. Like people might have dismissed them a little bit. Now they've got to go, right, we know what Richmond can do when they hustle. We've got to prepare for that. We've got to look at their plan B.
What's the antidote?
I do think suspension's going to hurt them a bit more this year because there's going to be a lot more people getting closely looked at, closely tagged, niggles.
I don't think Cochin could cash in as many tickets as he did this year.
Well, I feel like if the grand final's anything to go by, I think we should get a better rub from the umpires. I feel like they've come full circle and they're on our team now. So, yeah, maybe there's a few close games that go our way because of men in white or yellow.
I think the close games are going to be the biggest decider this year because, as I said, last season we didn't blow any teams out of the park. We sat in a nice, comfortable percentage, not too great. But if you have two, maybe three of those games go slightly the other way. We had it a few years ago where we missed out on finals because we lost four, five games under 6 points.
Well, you're still going to lose the close ones to Freo. I mean, this is tradition.
If we get another goal after the siren loss to Freo, I'm going to just spend the week in the...
Oh, Monday's fucked.
Yeah. But that's it. You still lost the close ones this year. So you can
and
deal
the
with
worst
that.
Thing is going through the views of our other team, look at their highs, and it's always a win against Richmond. Yeah. So I'm like, how the fuck do we even make finals? Like, everyone else just had a massive big win against us.
I've got them finishing fourth because I do think that their best footy in September is not something that you can continue for an entire season.
Yeah,
because it is that draining. And you know they got there with a clean injury list, and you know the things fell their way and they made advantage of it. And you know,
well, it is a marathon followed by a sprint.
Yeah,
yeah.
So in this case, they ended up with the yellow jersey. But can they do it again? I don't think so. But I could be wrong. I didn't think they'd do it last year.
No, I was going to say, I didn't even pick them to play finals. Richie, where do you think they're going to finish?
In my little rough thing, I would say third, only because I think Geelong are going to be very scary this year. With Ablett coming back, motivated, ready to go, I think they're definitely a team. I reckon, and Geelong will be top, Adelaide for second, and then I'd have Tigers third.
I think that's what I got too.
It's going to be interesting. It's really tough and picking a Richmond place because it's Richmond and they could be anywhere.
They could do anything.
But yeah, it'll be come down to whether the other teams have figured out a way that can combat the game plan. You know, it's like we saw it when Clarkson started bringing in the press, the rolling press, and you know it took a while for teams to figure out, okay, how the hell did we actually deal with this thing?
And then once they figured it.
Yeah, you start managing, and then other teams are adopting it.
Yeah,
I'll be really interested to see how the ruck contests go. Whether we still play
Premiership ruckman Sean Grigg.
play Grigg as the second man up. And then
does he go up? Does he?
not really. No,
wouldn't be surprised this season if at least one team goes into a game without a ruckman.
Yeah, Bryce Gibbs, Adelaide ruckman for sure.
Yeah,
so I mean that'll be interesting whether another team adopts the same style. I don't know if anyone else has got the sort of the front half pressure that we can bring in, but if anyone can adjust their game plan, that's going to be a cracking game to watch. Because the way I see it and the way I picked it, that's why GWS were a worry for me when we played because they do have the technical skill to drill quick passes, bang bang bang, and get through that press. So if teams can chain those quick possessions cleanly, you can get over that pressure. Yep. But it's when that one kick comes in that's a little bit out of reach and you have to scramble that half a second you give Rioli and he's on your tail. So
Well, that's the other thing they've got to combat is I think Rioli's still on crutches, and we're talking.
I think he's
coming
back.
He should be back. He should be back first week. I think
you reckon?
Yeah.
I'll put my own.
It is Carlton, so we might rest him one more week.
He's 50-50.
Yeah.
which means he's no chance at all.
But it won't take him long to get back up to match, you know, fitness kind of stuff. All right, that'll do us for the Tigers. It'll be very interesting seasons. I think it's the first time in his career that Hardwick's going in comfortable.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And before.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he has to put a few stones in his shoes just to make him feel at home.
Goes home and Mrs. Hardwick yells at him just so he can feel normal again.
I still love that every time he addresses talks about her, it's always Mrs. Hardwick. Yeah. Even to the players, it's Mrs. Hardwick.
All right. Thanks again, Richie.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Thank you. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.